And without any further remarks from me, I'll now ask Senator Cheney, the Minister for Social Security, to open the conference. Senator.
Mr. Chairman, I think the support which the government does provide for ACCROD is the simple acknowledgement of the fact that we recognise this body as the principal body representing disabled people, as well as the organisations which support them at the national level. Now that is a matter which is not without controversy, and of course it means in turn that ACCROD has a responsibility to try to provide that national representation for disabled people. And I would like to acknowledge and welcome the steps which have been taken this year to invite onto the executive representatives of principal disability groups and organisations of disabled to strengthen its position in this regard. And I do think that the self-examination which ACCROD has undertaken, in light of some of the criticism which it received itself, it's nice that not only governments get criticised in these matters, is a sign of a healthy organisation, and on behalf of the government I welcome it.
Going up to see you about two times a week. Kiss around the mouth just as sweet as any vine. Wrap myself around me like a sweet potato vine. Going up Cripple Creek, going on a run. Going up Cripple Creek, have a little fun. Going up Cripple Creek, going in a whirl. Going up Cripple Creek, see my girl.
Welcome to another show of Wheeling Free, produced by the Southside team of the two teams producing the Wheeling Free radio show. In today's program, we'll be having large excerpts from the ACCROD conference held in Canberra last Thursday and Friday. At that conference, there were 133 people from all over Australia. The conference was introduced by the Minister for Social Security, the Honourable Fred Cheney. And in today's program, we will be having extracts from Edith Hall workshop, Income and Rights, and also The Role of Disabled People as Advocates by Professor Laurie McCready. Also, we'll hear more from Fred Cheney. Before we go on with the extracts from the ACCROD conference and convention, we have some news here, a small news item. Do you have one there?
On Saturday the 20th of November, there will be a festival in Hyde Park for Sydney Awareness Week for Disabled Persons. There will be a week-long program of conferences and forums, cultural events and entertainment. Portfolio for this event. There will be a third march for the United Tomorrow on the 20th of November. There will be a festival in Hyde Park on the 20th of November as well. There's a forum and conference program. There'll be panels on prevention of disability on the 23rd of November. Parents speak out on the 24th of November, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And community support services, 25th of November, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. The venue is the OTC Centre, 4th floor in Martin Place.
If you'd like further information about the Sydney Awareness Week coming up, starting this coming weekend, then this next week, the 20th of November, then you can contact the Disabled Persons Resource Centre at 323 Castlereagh Street in Sydney. There's a new blurb now that's available from the Disabled Persons Resource Centre. It says that the centre came into being when four self-help groups of disabled people pooled their resources. These groups were the Handicapped Persons Alliance, Consumer Information for the Disabled, the Community Rehabilitation Task Force, and the Disabled Persons International. This combining of resources by four of the leading self-help groups of disabled people in New South Wales was a major achievement. Other groups also using the centre at Castlereagh Street in the city. If you want to know what the centre does, it provides a central contact point for self-help groups of disabled people. It acts as a clearinghouse, collecting, sorting and disseminating information relevant to disabled people throughout all of New South Wales. The centre is staffed by an executive officer administrative officer, information coordinator, an information officer, and a part-time secretary. Supporting the paid staff, a voluntary bank of disabled people give their spare time to help the centre run. There are other things. It offers other facilities. There are a couple of newsletters, and there's some very friendly people at the Disabled Persons Resource Centre. If you'd like to know more about it, you can pick up the pamphlet I'm reading from the Resource Centre, or you can phone them, and the phone number is 217 7376. I think there's an advertisement in yesterday's paper for positions vacant at the Disabled Persons Resource Centre. One of those positions includes the collecting and processing of information relevant to the disabled people's field. And if you'd like further information, again, see the Sydney Morning Herald or contact the Resource Centre.
Well, I used to good jump like a rabbit and walk along for miles at a time. I never really knew how lucky I was to be able to run and climb. But now I'm more like a turtle, just slow and steady, that's me. But we'll get along if you'll just sing my song and pretend for a minute you're me. Because I'm doing all right for a cripple, a wisecracking ward of the state. At times it gets rough, but I'm pretty tough, and I've adjusted quite well to my fate. So don't give me your grief or your pity, just kindly get out of my way. Well, it's been a trip, but a crip can be hip, and I'm enjoying myself today. Now when I used to see handicapped people, I felt awkward and funny inside. I found myself feeling sorry for them, and like as not, my tongue got tied. But I got a new view from a wheelchair, and now they're all staring at me. Oh, what a lesson I learned when the tables were turned. But I'm glad, 'cause I finally see, oh yes, I'm doing all right for a cripple. I'm a taxpaying citizen too. At times it gets rough, but I'm pretty tough, and somehow I keep making it through. So don't give me your grief or your pity, just kindly get out of my way. Well, it's been a trip, but a crip can be hip, and I'm enjoying myself today. And so the next time you see a cripple, don't get all teary and frown. 'Cause just because a person can't get up is no reason to put them down. Now some of us hobble on crutches, some can't hear or see. Well, maybe you'll find you're the one who was blind. Understanding can set us all free. So consider me just inconvenienced, unique yet a lot like you. With burdens to bear and good things to share and lots of things I can still do. So don't give me your grief or your pity, just kinda get out of my way. Well, it's been a trip, but a crip can be hip, and I'm enjoying myself today. Oh yes, I'm doing all right for a cripple, I've made it halfway around the world. Yet even today I hear some people say that I'm doing all right for a girl. So don't give me your off-the-wall comments, just kinda get out of my way. Move. Yes, it's been a trip, but a crip can be hip, and I'm enjoying myself today. I hope you're enjoying yourself today, 'cause I am enjoying myself today.
That was one of the many songs written by Elaine Kolb, a 32-year-old Fulbright scholar and wandering minstrel from the USA. Her songs can be found in a book called Let's Get It Together from the Disabled Persons Resource Centre. Songs include Dignity and Pride, Forgotten Woman, are 84% blues and others. In September 1977, Elaine was stabbed in the back by a mugger on the street, resulting in a spinal cord injury. She now walks with a caliper and a crutch. In the meantime, Elaine completed a degree in human resources from Georgia Strait University and was awarded a Fulbright scholarship to Australia, where she has written these songs.
You're listening to 2SER FM, the program Wheeling Free, brought to you for disabled people by disabled people. It has been broadcast for the last few years at Sunday afternoon, but in December, the program will be going to air at 1:30 on Saturday afternoon. We'll give further announcements about this in this program and later on in the coming weeks. We now return to the ACROD convention, and we have Edith Hall giving the summary of the workshop, Income and Rights.
The pilot, attendant care pilot, there was a lot of discussion on that because it was the first topic dealt with and we were all sort of full of energy at that point. But the group commended the government for the pilot but noted the narrow base of the study, and it is recommended that if the pilot shows the cost-effective measures, then the permanent program should be developed along the lines of all disabled persons. Example, that we're really looking at community-based care instead of institutional care, with the proviso that if attendants, as defined in this program, are not the appropriate model for intellectually disabled persons, then social trainers, or whatever is regarded as the equivalent and correct model, be adopted, and that a pilot scheme be undertaken in that framework. And it was a recommendation for ACROD to follow through on those accounts. Anti-discrimination legislation. The group supported anti-discrimination legislation, saw it as a good thing, but all agreed that the actual framing of the legislation was critical and that there should be great attention paid to the tightening of the words, and that there was a need for support legislation to affect the anti-discrimination measures, and also that the alternatives to anti-discrimination legislation should be studied by ACROD and presented to the members. And included in that alternative system, there should be an examination of incentives, example, tax deductions, and at the same time that anti-discrimination legislation or the alternative methods be used, that there should be a public education program taken at the time to introduce the legislation or the affirmative action to the community. The taxation issues, that ACROD examine indirect taxes which affect disabled people, example import duty, that these indirect taxes are in effect a taxation on disability, and that ACROD pursue the widening of the sales tax exemption on new cars, and that discriminatory practices in relation to insurance on aids and equipment be investigated. And lastly, but by no means the least, the rights of residents. We really got into difficulties with this one in time, but our recommendation is that ACROD prepare a Bill of Rights and that this be taken to the executive and then through the states, and to examine a model of a guardianship board to monitor and protect rights of residents in institutions.
You are listening to Edith Hall speaking at the ACROD convention. Edith was one of three people elected to the board of the ACROD Council in Canberra. The other two people elected were Michael Fox, who is currently the chairman of the ACROD National Committee on Access, and the other person was Barbara Woolley from South Australia. Edith is in charge of the Paraplegic and Quadriplegic Association of Victoria. Another workshop held at the conference was that on the role of disabled people as advocates. This workshop was chaired by Professor Laurie McCready, and we'll listen to a 3-minute summary of what went on in that workshop.
Our fourth chairman to report, Professor Laurie McCready.
Chairman, I have a scribe, I believe, who's going to read them out.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you're going to read them out? No, no,
John Munchenberg will be giving the report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I should firstly start off by thanking Professor McCready for being the devil's advocate and for Lionel Watts for bringing us back to earth. We had, as you realise, four propositions. We dealt with them. We ended up with three resolutions, part of one of which embraces the first proposition. I'll deal with them in turn. The recommendation calling for the establishment of a national independent advocacy structure of disabled people is demonstrative of a general dissatisfaction among disabled people with the present advocacy structures, for example, ACROD, AAMR, ANCB. Inadequate access to the decision-making processes seems to be the cause of this dissatisfaction. The level of the dissatisfaction is cause for concern, not dissatisfaction itself. The second proposition, we ended up with a resolution which embraced both the second proposition and the third. The establishment of a national independent advocacy structure of disabled people, such as the Australian chapter of DPI, runs the risk of segregating disabled people within the community and weakening rather than strengthening future advocacy on matters affecting disabled people. It was recognised, however, that such a structure may provide a training area in advocacy and contribute to greater accountability. It is recognised, however, that advocacy should desirably be undertaken by disabled persons, representatives of disabled persons and service delivery organisations, consulting and working cooperatively together. It is recommended that ACROD should consult and cooperate with other organisations on common issues. And the final proposition dealt with the interests of disabled persons are best served by advocacy through memberships of boards of management, etc. And this is how it ended up in the form of a resolution. The interests of disabled persons are best served by their having the fullest opportunity to participate in all levels of policy making, administration and service delivery in the community generally and the organisations that serve them particularly. It was an enjoyable workshop. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
How it can be that we're wheeling free at the radio station each week. With others like us, we are learning to trust, and we're building the union we seek. At our home, sweet Ashton home, where the quads and paras can play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the place is run by AQA. Our workshop and home have definitely shown that we still have a lot we can give, and our hearts fill with pride, for it can't be denied that we're building a new way to live. Sing it now. Home, sweet Ashton home, where the quads and paras can play. Oh, they play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the place is run by AQA. Be it ever so
That was the last two verses of a song, Home Sweet Ashton, written by Elaine Kolb. As you may know, Wheeling Free was started by the residents of Ashton Nursing Home. Wheeling Free, as I mentioned earlier, will be going to air in December on Saturday instead of Sunday, Saturday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. We'll give you plenty of reminders before we go to air on Saturday afternoon in December. We will conclude today's program. We're running out of time because of the limits, the ability to prepare this material from Canberra ready for broadcast. And we're going to conclude today's program with Senator Fred Chaney, the Minister for Social Security, talking about the home care program which he is now introducing into New South Wales.
As you know, the government has earmarked $100,000 from the funds allocated for the upgrading of the Handicapped Persons Welfare Program to carry out a pilot study to investigate alternative modes of providing attendant care assistance. Now, this is a matter on which, of course, there have been a plethora of representations both during 1981 and since. And it's a project in which I intend to take a close personal interest and to follow to see if we can meet some of the objectives which have been set. What we're trying to do is to provide answers to a number of questions about how best to assist the physically handicapped with their personal care needs. And in a limited way, we hope that the pilot scheme will present us with an opportunity to gather information about the process of providing attendant care and the possible forms in which it could be delivered. It will also provide important information on the cost of the forms trialled. It's envisaged that a major component of the research aspect of the study will be devoted to measuring the relative costs of institutional as opposed to community care, including attendant care. We've still, of course, got to investigate potential client populations. And from memory, and I do speak from memory on this point, I think the estimate which ACROD gave me with respect to one of its submission was a client population of a relatively small number of thousands of people. I think some 3,500 was one of the figures put forward for one proposal. It was interesting in California to find, I think, 96,000 people taking advantage of the attendant care arrangements in that state, which of course have provided a model for many of those who have made representations to the government. But we are going to need to investigate the potential client populations and their particular needs, and we will be seeking first to test claims that attendant care will enable severely physically handicapped people to live more independently. And whilst that may seem self-evident to you, that is a matter which I think we can put to further study. Second, we want to test various options on how the attendant care might be most effectively provided. And third, we want to test the claims made by ACROD and other proponents of the introduction of attendant care scheme that the scheme will facilitate a higher quality of life among severely physically handicapped people, and together with existing community services, which it will supplement and not supplant. In other words, we're not looking to provide some overall scheme which completely replaces what's operating now, but rather a supplement to what is operating now, which will provide a less costly system of appropriate support services to severely handicapped people than existing forms of institutional arrangements. The study will be concerned with the needs only of the physically handicapped of working age. And I know from some of the work which is being done by you or by people here today that some of you will wish to see an extension beyond the physically handicapped at the earliest opportunity. But I'm convinced that we should concentrate on those who are at working age because the needs of the elderly and of the intellectually handicapped are different and I think need to be addressed separately. Within the sample of physically handicapped of working age, we would propose to give priority to those who might be assisted by attendant care in obtaining or keeping employment. In other words, we will be looking to assist people of high vocational potential. And this is in line with other measures taken in the budget which have been meant to assist the disabled in the employment area. Now, Mr. President, we've had some very strong views put to us on how attendant care ought to be provided. And we propose in the pilot to investigate two distinct methods of providing attendant care services. We intend to investigate domiciliary respite care, which will cover both planned occasional relief and emergency care as necessary for people living with their families. And we would plan to test daily ongoing attendant care. Now, the daily ongoing attendant care is probably the sort of care which has received the most attention in submissions made to me. And we would propose in the pilot to offer it in distinct settings which have quite different needs and considerations. We'd be looking to provide attendant care on a daily ongoing basis to people living alone. We'd be looking to providing it to people who are the sole person in a household requiring attendant care, but are in a household, that is living with a spouse or family, and who have an existing support network at the place of residence. And thirdly, we'd be looking to provide it in group settings, such as group homes run by voluntary organisations, where one or more than one person requires some form of attendant care. And again, I know that there are people in this audience who have a direct interest in that sort of arrangement. We would propose that some of the sample will receive a direct payment subsidy, which will include some people who may be less highly motivated to live independently than others with a similar degree of disability. And we would be proposing that for the service part of the scheme, organisations eligible for funding under the State's Grants Home Care Act will be used to provide attendant care, although the grant will be paid direct rather than through the mechanism of that particular act. And finally, as to geographic location, we are proposing that the pilot scheme will take place initially in New South Wales, and I have written to the appropriate state ministers who've expressed an interest already in cooperating in this project. I suppose, very importantly, I should tell you that there is to be a research and evaluation component in the scheme, and we will be involving a recognised research institute in that research and evaluation on the project. And finally, I'm aware that you yourselves have been interested in the question of a steering committee for the project so that it can continue to be responsive to the needs of the disabled themselves and of the organisations which serve and represent them. And I am pleased to be able to assure you that there will be a steering committee established to oversight the pilot. Its composition will include, subject to your agreement, a representative of ACROD, a representative of NATCH, self-help groups and departmental representatives both from my department and from the Social Welfare Policy Secretariat element within my department. And in addition, as I indicated before, we've invited assistance from the relevant state government authorities. And I will be writing, I have already written to the state government, I will be writing to organisations in the very near future to invite representation. Ladies and gentlemen, in opening your conference, I am sorry to have simply listed a series of the measures which are currently the concern of the government and which, as I said before, do reflect our attempt to come to grips with the myriad of issues which have been brought to our attention so forcefully by you and by other advocates for the disabled in the community. I do want to assure you that we have a commitment to assisting disabled Australians, and we certainly welcome assistance from the voluntary sector in doing our own task. And I do welcome and thank you for the partnership which has existed between the government and your organisations across so many measures.
You are listening then to the Honourable Fred Chaney, the Minister for Social Security, making an announcement when he opened the National Convention of the Australian Council of Rehabilitation of the Disabled. This is Greg C. Key, a volunteer with the Disabled Persons Resource Centre and with the Wheeling Free radio team.
And Lynn, signing off for today with the Pay Up song by Peggy Seeger and Ewan McColl from the album Hot Blast.
Here's a costly thing, so put it to use. Time, it's a precious thing, we haven't got much to lose. I took the time out to write you a song, you took the time tonight to come on along. It takes more than time to make us strong, so time is no end need.
So if you give a penny, give at least 20. After all, it's only money you're giving away. The 5p, 10p, 50p pieces, it won't buy much with the prices today. A pound from each of you could save my neck. But if you're all spent up, just write out a check. If all you gotta give is your own two hands, we'll find a job for you. 'Cause if you don't wanna stand in the front line yourself, stand behind the ones you do.
Money is a useful thing, but it takes a long time to earn. Money is a powerful thing, it doesn't take long to learn. Money can arrest you and throw you in jail, but money pays fees, fines and bail. It looks like liberty is up for sale, but money